Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about all kinds of various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, there is so much to talk about. There is just so much going on, and just it's a rapidly changing field, both UFOs and the paranormal for that matter, which I believe are related, and I think our guest tonight does too. I hope you all enjoyed last week's show. We had on a very interesting guest to talk about exopolitics. His name was Jeff Peckman, P-E-C-K-M-A-N, and we had a very interesting conversation, actually, about exopolitics, which is basically extraterrestrial politics. And if you didn't get a chance to catch the show, again, the shows are all archived on the BBS radio website in the archive section, so you can go there and check it out if you didn't get a chance to listen last week. And tonight we're going to kind of continue this theme of UFOs. Like I said, this subject, I mean, there's just so much to explore with it. And I think it's really a very rapidly changing field, UFOs. There's a lot happening. It's evolving very quickly. I think it's a very delicate situation in many ways, and we're going to be seeing some enormous changes in the future regarding the whole UFOs, the UFO presence, and how it affects us on our planet. And that's going to be partly what we're going to be talking about tonight. Our guest is Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle, Ph.D., and she is a paranormal researcher and experiencer, and has actually been a pioneer in this field. We're going to be talking tonight about exoconsciousness. Now, exoconsciousness can be defined simply, I guess, as the extraterrestrial origins, dimensions, and abilities of human consciousness, which is reframing basically what it means to be a human being at this time and in the upcoming future. And our guest tonight, Dr. Hardcastle, actually conceived exoconsciousness to describe the extraterrestrial origins, dimensions, and abilities of human consciousness. Now, I can't wait to hear about this, because I think this is really right up my alley in terms of, I just can't wait. But anyway, Dr. Hardcastle has taught extraterrestrial reality at Scottsdale Community College, which was actually one of the first ufology courses in the nation. Someday, guys, we're going to be teaching UFOs regularly in all colleges, I'm sure of it. So this is really interesting. She's also a member of Phoenix Lights 3, which is an educational group advocating extraterrestrial awareness, and a co-founder of etvotenow.org, a national initiative to establish a Department of Extraterrestrial Alliances. Our guest, Rebecca Hardcastle, is dedicated to peacefully bridging extraterrestrial reality with mainstream religion, science, medicine, government, and education, which, gosh, is something we so sorely need in this field. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I want you all to welcome our guest tonight, Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle, Ph.D. Thank you, Rebecca, for coming onto the show.
Thank you, and hello to all your listeners. Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to have this dialogue.
Right, so you're going to be speaking at the UFO Congress real soon, right?
Yes, I'm going to speak the last week of February at the UFO Congress, and I'm speaking on Thursday at 4 o'clock, I believe.
Wow. So Thursday
is the Experiencer Day. So it starts with Barbara Lamb talking about different experiencers, and then I end the day at 4 o'clock with exoconsciousness.
Right. Barbara Lamb's amazing. I've had her on the show, too.
She is.
She's a good friend of mine, actually.
Yeah.
She lives not too far from me.
Oh, so that's great.
It is. It's really nice. We've been together in this field for years and years, and it's been nice to kind of evolve with each other. But anyway, Rebecca, what is exoconsciousness?
Well, you've defined it a couple times for your listeners. It literally came to me as the whole concept came to me as a download. I had been struggling for many years in terms of researching consciousness and academically going into what it meant in terms of philosophy and psychology, what exactly was the opinion about consciousness. Is it in the brain? Is it beyond the body? Is it in the body? And then I'd already also had done quite a bit of personal experiential work. I do medium work. I'd done astral travel. I'd done a lot of extraterrestrial communications. I'd received downloads. I'm telepathic. So I have a lot of psychic abilities, and I was trying to coordinate and integrate my experiences with what academics had to say. And I went on in that field and got a PhD in parapsychic sciences, trying to figure out what it means to be to have paranormal abilities. And so this whole concept of exoconsciousness came together, and it seemed that the best way to unite academics with experience. And since then, I've gone into quantum theoretical models academically. I've spoken with the psychiatric community professionally in terms of making the paranormal normal. I've just had so many opportunities to help myself as well as other people start to, as you talked about, literally reframe what it means to be human. And also, as you said, the field just keeps expanding every day. It's so exciting. There's just something new on the horizon continually. And if you're good friends with Barbara, I'm sure that the two of you share this. It's like you're sharing an odyssey together.
It's truly an amazing time right now. You know, I got into this field very skeptical and not believing.
Oh, did you?
I didn't believe in ghosts. I didn't believe in life. Nothing. I believed in none of this stuff, and found out my friends and family were having some really dramatic UFO sightings and encounters and some abductions as well. And so that's what got me interested. And the reason I bring this up is because, you know, I started interviewing people and doing a lot of research. And I started asking people, you know, well, besides the UFO sighting, have you ever had any other so-called unexplained experience? And that's when I found out that a lot of people who are seeing UFOs are having a lot of psychic experiences of a wide variety of kinds. And there's definitely a link there.
And yes, there is.
That's one of the reasons I'm really interested in speaking with you tonight, because I mean, you've done a lot of research.
It's almost like having a UFO experience. And I define very broadly what a UFO experience is.
Okay.
I work real closely with Dr. Lynn Kitai and Terry Mansfield with Phoenix Lights 3. Lynn's the key witness for the Phoenix Lights. She did the Phoenix Lights documentary. Terry Mansfield is the co-founder of the Arizona Department of Peace. And then I'm the paranormal peace, part of the equation with the three of us. And so I consider a UFO experience to be, you know, seeing a UFO craft, or it could be, you know, having a contact experience. It could be reading a book. It could be going to a movie. It could be having a conversation with a group of friends. I think there's just a wide spectrum that all of a sudden something about UFOs triggers your in your consciousness, and something clicks on, and all of a sudden you begin to live in a new reality, literally. Just as what happened with you with your friends talking about encounters in your family.
Exactly. You know, and it just kind of, like, exactly like you said, it changed my consciousness. I started having out-of-body experiences and dreams that come true, precognitive dreams, which kind of translated into,
call
them waking visions.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get what you're saying, and it's just thrilling to watch. I mean, humanity is evolving, and it seems very sudden and dramatic. Would you say that that's a fair statement?
I'm sorry, you said it was stuttering and frenetic. Is that what you said?
No, it seems very sudden. It's happening quickly.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, it is dramatic, and that's one of the areas that maybe we could talk a little bit about tonight, because that's been an ongoing theme of my work. especially years ago when I would, you know, begin to work with experiencers as well as, you know, work with myself and all that I was undergoing, is the suddenness of the experience, or so it seems. John Mack talked about fencing the fear. I don't know if you remember him talking about that or not. That was a very important concept at the time, and back when John was doing his work, fencing the fear was just about all that we had to go on. I mean, after the Vietnam War, of course, and we identified trauma, and we talked about what trauma meant, and post-traumatic stress syndrome emerged, but we didn't have a lot of tools to work with it other than talking therapy. And so, you know, for John, it was more like, well, we're going to fence the fear, we're going to talk about it. Since then, there's just been actually exponential leaps, and this is one of the things I'm going to talk about at the UFO Congress. There's been exponential leaps in terms of what we know now about what trauma actually does to the brain, how it scars the brain, how we can take a blueprint of a person's brain who's been traumatized, and sometimes UFO encounters are rather traumatic and frightening.
Oh, yeah.
And so we can look at that blueprint, and you can actually read how that blueprint in the brain is going to affect the body. And now there's so many ways that we can literally obliterate the scarring and make new neural networks, and the trauma's gone. So we're able not just to fence the fear now, but we're able to rewire the fear where it doesn't exist anymore.
Wow. You know, that's
so
really significant.
So even though an experience or a UFO sighting and then the psychic abilities come online quickly, now we're able to integrate that more effectively and gently within the experiencer. So we have a lot of tools at our access that we didn't have, you know, 10 years ago. So it's quite an exciting time. It's almost like technology and science is going hand in hand with what humans are experiencing, and it's just like it's just being handed over to us. You know, here, use this, here, use this, and it's made it so much quicker so that people aren't so traumatized and they're able to integrate it easily.
Exactly. You know, I think that's one of the main agendas for UFO contact. I mean, certainly I think people are being taken on board and having genetic material removed. I've interviewed a lot of people who have said that, and they're very sincere, and that they have experienced these events. But you know what? Over and over again, and this theme is so strong, the ETs are very interested in human consciousness and in raising it. And people who have these encounters, traumatic or not, come away with it often, so often, with just a completely different consciousness, which does involve out-of-body experiences and a whole new awareness that's, you know. So I'm wondering, you know, do you think that that's what our human consciousness now seems like? It's almost stunted and not fully developed, and we're finally experiencing what it really does mean to be human.
Well, I think, as you said before, that's one of the ways that we start learning that we have a multidimensional consciousness, that we have a quantum consciousness, that, you know, the whole hologram idea, the idea that we're entangled with different, you know, levels of the universe, and how we can get in touch with that. And that's absolutely what happens when you have an ET experience. And then on top of that, all these abilities that I believe through exoconsciousness are innate to human beings. I think all human beings have the ability to be telepathic and clairaudient, clairvoyant, have presentient dreams like you have, and just a whole realm of psychic abilities. Every human has that innately. I like to call it this is actually the next book I'm working on. It's called Exoconsciousness, the Eighth Intelligence. I don't know if you're familiar with Howard Gardner's work from Harvard.
No.
He did a lot of work on looking at the IQ test and saying, you know, we really need to move in education away from this, because there's seven intelligences. There's a musical intelligence, there's a mathematical intelligence, a logical intelligence, there's a spatial intelligence, for example, someone that can read a map, there's kinesthetic intelligence, a person can move their body through space, and that these are all innate abilities that we have from one degree to the other, you know, on a sliding scale. We're not going to all play in the Super Bowl, but, you know, we can move our body through space, some people more effectively than others. So I add to that an eighth intelligence and say we all have a psychic intelligence, and that is the piece of consciousness that comes online dramatically with UFO contact.
Yeah, really, I mean, telepathy is a rule, basically, when people are on board. Almost all communication is through telepathy. I think telepathy has been largely proven, you know, scientifically several times, despite what mainstream science might say.
Right. And if you're communicating over, you know, beyond literally our time-space continuum as we develop further and further into a space-faring race, you're going to need to know how to communicate telepathically. And that's what we are being groomed to become, that species. And it's happening, as you said, very suddenly.
Well, what do you think this means for our society if suddenly everyone's psychic and, you know, the veil between the worlds is thin and people are seeing ghosts? And to a large extent, it's already happening. But what do you foresee in our future? Like, people talk about 2012, and, you know, are we moving to this dimension? This is something several ETs have told people, that our planet is being raised in vibrational rate or something. So I just wonder what you think what does our future hold?
Well, one thing I think that happens pretty quickly, we've already kind of talked about the consciousness piece of how we're evolving so quickly. Another thing that happens is the other part of my work that I do, and that's the whole ET reality. And actually, it's exopolitics is what it is. I'm real active with the Jeff Peckman and the Exopolitics Institute. I think one of the first phases that we go through as humans and as we move through these different steps is, I think step one is you have some kind of extraterrestrial experience, and all of a sudden you view your reality different, and you want to get more and more information. So you begin, like on an exopolitics agenda, to say, bring me more information. I want to learn more about this. Step two is, and that's something I think we're all working through right now, it's kind of like in psychology they call it embracing your shadow. You know, what has been sort of the collateral damage of all this secrecy? What has it done to our human civilization and our human race? And not go along with it and not collude with it anymore. What has it done in terms of making us a warring species, a violent species, a species in sort of planetary solitary confinement? But instead of getting angry, setting up some kind of, you know, court system to take everybody to court over it, we quickly move beyond it. We embrace it. We love it. We accept it, as that was the stage that we went through, and use a lot of compassion. Step three, I think we need to take these trauma scars away and release them, as I talked about before, and then I think we form a brand new belief system, and I think that's going to be the cultural impact. I think secrecy's over. Once you're telepathic, secrecy's over, because you know that you have access to any and all information that you want. I think that our concept of human mortality, as you talked about being a medium, once you do any kind of medium work, your whole idea of mortality is rewritten and reframed. Needing a master or a liberator, you know, kind of a savior figure, I think that's something else that's going to transition. Our whole isolation as a species is going to change. The trauma that comes from us being a warlike species will change. And I think our whole idea of being anthropocentric, where humans mean everything, that is going to dramatically change. So we're going to be... we're going to have a whole new culture as a result of this. And I'm one of the advocates to say, let's have this culture happen smoothly, quickly, easily, gently. Let's not jar everybody with it. You know, let's not bring out the lawsuits or blame and shame everybody. Let's just gently move into what this new era is going to be. And I think the new era, and once again, is exopolitics. The new era is ET Vote Now, it's exopolitics, it's people living in a deliberately created, intentionally created extraterrestrial reality. where we have open diplomatic relations, where we are part of a galactic society, and we're participating in it as an evolved species. And as, you know, many contactees have been told, either we come in peace or we don't go.
Exactly. And I think that our own warlike ways and our prejudices are one of the main reasons ETs aren't showing themselves openly.
Right.
Because they really, I mean, and it would cause tremendous trauma to our society if they did
that.
Yeah,
and I think that's the reason that we are warlike, is because we've had these trauma, scars have been, you know, having this, has been how our brain has evolved, and, you know, we're ready to move beyond that. But I guess maybe it's tied to evolution. You know, you look at extraterrestrial origins, which is also part of exoconsciousness, and you come away rather convinced that there was a lot of tinkering going on. There was a lot of experimentation, and there was a lot of evolving, and the tinkering, you know, exponentially jumped our evolvement as a species sometimes. But I also know that there's a lot of belief now that what took centuries to evolve in our species now can happen very quickly, if not in a moment.
Wow.
That we can rewire our genetic code in a moment. And a lot of that's done with belief system. I don't know if you're familiar with Bruce Lipton and the biology of belief.
Not really.
Yeah, he talks a lot about kind of demythologizing our genetic DNA, where we always believe that DNA was the master, and the rest of our biological system just went to however the DNA told it to go. And he, in his work, kind of demythologizes that and, you know, takes that dogma apart and says, you know, there's a lot more going on here genetically than just DNA. It's about environment. It's about beliefs. It's about experiences. And these can have a dramatic impact on how our DNA is constructed and how it responds in the body.
Isn't that interesting? You know what? You know, I'm fascinated by DNA because the people who discovered it, Watson and Crick, they said that it was created by extraterrestrials. That was
absolutely
their belief.
Isn't that interesting?
So,
I know.
I mean,
great.
People kind of overlook that. And, you know, when ETs are so interested in our genetics, and certainly there is a lot of evidence that our genetics are being manipulated and have been. And so it's just an interesting whole aspect to this whole thing.
Well, we're entangled with them. We are extraterrestrial. I mean, that's basically what exoconsciousness says. You know, wake up, you are an extraterrestrial being.
You know, and Rebecca, that's exactly what kept me out of the whole UFO field for years and years, because you hear reports of aliens on TV, and they would have eyes and a nose and a mouth, and it was very Star Trek-like. I thought to myself, well, you know, aliens wouldn't look like that. They would look like blobs, and, you know, I had my own preconception
right.
of what an alien is. But after, you know, investigating this stuff and running across not only accounts of gray-type ETs, but human-looking ETs.
Humanoid.
Who look just like us.
Right.
That raises a very, very serious question, I think, about human origin.
It ups the ante, doesn't it?
Right? I mean, how can you possibly explain that? I mean, they're mating with us. They look like us. Well, like you said, clearly we didn't come from here. I don't see how we can get to any other explanation. So that means we are ETs, which means...
Right, and not only
what does that mean,
ETs,
though?
Yeah, but we're also... I'm not saying we're Hinds 57, but I think quite a few ET races have tinkered with us. So, you know, we're not just, you know, humanoid. We're not just Pleiadian, or we're not just the Greys, or we're not just the reptilians or the Anunnaki, but, you know, we're quite a few, you know, there's the Andromedans, and there's, you know, we have a lot in our DNA code, and it's almost as though that experience with that race is also affecting who we are, that this was a planet of experimentation, and we're not just related to one ET race.
Well, that would certainly explain why they're so interested in us and why there's so many different types of ETs visiting us. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of interest on the ETs' part and what's happening to us as if there's some huge event. So, and that comes across again and again in accounts, which I find very fascinating. All right, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Rebecca Hardcastle, Ph.D., Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle. And we're talking about exoconsciousness, which is defined as basically the extraterrestrial origins, dimensions, and abilities of human consciousness, which is reframing what it means to be a human being in today and our near future. I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, so if you have a question for our guest, if you have an experience you want to share or a comment, we would absolutely love to hear from you. We love callers in. So I'm going to give out the toll-free number right now. Grab your pencil. Here it comes, 888-228-4494. I'm going to give that out one more time, 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, now, this is just, there's so much to talk about on this subject. The whole ET presence is affecting us in so many ways, and while some people are still skeptical, I think that the UFO presence is really pervasive in our society. And if this evolution that we're going through would be facilitated, it would absolutely change our planet in ways people couldn't possibly even imagine. I mean, we're suffering with this environmental crisis. This is another theme that comes up over and over again in UFO accounts. ETs are warning us over and over about nuclear proliferation, about greenhouse gases, global warming, pollution, all of this. It comes up so many times. And that whole problem could be solved overnight if our own government and other governments would just release the technology, which I think that they do have, free energy technology and zero-point stuff. So do you think that that's... I mean, what do you think is the potential for our government ending this cover-up? And
oh, I think it's underway. Yes. I've been in this field quite a long time, and, once you get some history under your feet, you can really feel the ground shift. I spoke at one point with on psychopathology and exoconsciousness. Now, exoconsciousness, or if you're an experiencer, you're labeled as crazy, bipolar, schizophrenic. Psychiatrists take out their desk reference and look for the diagnostic, and you're labeled right away and put on meds. And the reason I was speaking with this group of psychiatrists was to try to move in this academic setting to get them to consider the fact that the paranormal is normal, that contact is a sane experience, it's a healthy experience, it's an experience that most of our culture is undergoing. And one of the things I discovered with my research was, while a lot of us believe that, psychiatrists make decisions as to what is a mental illness based on scientific research, in truth, a lot of their decision as to what is determined to be a psychopathology is based on culture. It's based on culture and society. So if culture deems that this is crazy, or this is a mental illness, then it ends up as a psychopathology on the psychiatrist's death reference,
that's
the DSM. So I started thinking about, it's interesting when you get out and talk to people and listen to them, you really learn a lot about how things happen. And so I was presenting this academic paper, and I said, I started thinking about, what could be a comparison here as to that would get me where I wanted to go. And I said, how did it happen that homosexuality was taken out of the desk reference and labeled as a healthy, normal human behavior? How did it lose its disease connotation? And they came back and told me, it was because we took a vote. So what happened, I think, with that was that society changed. Hollywood embraced the homosexual lifestyle. Governments started to say, you know, we can share benefits. People started coming out and saying, you know, outing themselves and saying that they were homosexual. And the culture at large shifted. You know, vice presidents were saying that their daughters were homosexual. I mean, it was huge.
Right.
And so I look at what's happening in terms of all our culture and ETs, and in terms of the government coming out and, you know, admitting that this is what has been going on, you know, the wonderful work that Michael Sala does in terms of all of this, the disclosure with Eisenhower and how, you know, we started in the 40s, late 40s, and, you know, the cover-up began in earnest. And to today where, you know, Larry King, you know, regularly has people on talking about, you know, exopolitical things, James Fox in his movie Out of the Blue. Oprah, my daughter called me the other day and she goes, Mom, Oprah's on Oprah Radio talking about ETs.
Oh, wow.
And I just, it's quite, so what happens, I believe, is that the culture changes, and it changes so dramatically that eventually these institutions like, you know, the medical psychiatric profession, the psychological profession, you know, culture as general, all of a sudden, all of this changes. And, you know, what better time to ask for the change than when we're standing here amidst the rack and rubble of not only our banking institutions, but also our government. You know, we're looking at a lot of insolvency here. And,
right.
You know, and when the framework starts to crumble, that's like where people really start to look around and say, you know, what's really going to be our next step? Do we really want to go back to banking as usual? Do we really want to go back to government as usual? Or do we really want something different here? And if we do, beyond a green economy, what is there? There's the green economy. There's the peace economy. There's ETs. There's UFOs. There's, you know, psychic intelligence. There's a whole panorama that everyone that's alive on the planet today gets to participate in creating this. It's the most exciting time of humans, as far as I'm concerned. I'm so thrilled to be part of this. The doors are literally swinging open. And what better time to come out and admit that secrets were kept? I mean, you know, Edgar Mitchell gets on the radio now and talks about, you know, as he's a full-fledged astronaut. He gets on the radio and talks about extraterrestrial information.
Right.
Openly.
Well, but there's still a
cover-up. Didn't do that just because, you know, he felt like doing it. Sure, he was given some kind of permission to do it.
Like the Stephenville Lights, you remember that incident about a year ago that was one of the biggest?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And the government did not react well to that. They said that they lied several times, were caught in lies about, you know, having jets there and not. They were caught threatening witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
This cover-up is still in place.
Oh, the cover-up is in place, but there is a movement of, I don't think disclosure is going to happen overnight, but you know what? It's happening.
It is.
It is happening. And I think a lot of people like myself, Michael Sala, Alfred Weber, Paolo Harris, Jeff Peckman, just the fact that all of us are operating in the open now is huge. It's huge. I remember, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, you wouldn't even have had this show, and I wouldn't have been on it.
Right, right. And it was a big deal when John Mack, you know, wrote a book about UFOs. Everyone's like, oh, my God, you know, a scientist, Pulitzer Prize winning author.
Right. I was just emailing back and forth with a professor at Ohio State University that just wrote a brilliant article on the anthropocentric orientation of diplomacy and how, you know, how is it going to deal with UFO encounters? And it was published in an academic journal.
Well, these are very exciting times. But, you know, Rebecca, I have to admit, I am a little bit frightened. I mean, we are a fear-based society, and that's pounded into us on the news.
That part is drama.
It's the economy is failing. You know, our polar ice caps are melting, and the world's coming to an end, is basically what we're being told. And it's frightening.
My friend's a pilot, and he said one of the things that they taught them in training as a pilot is nothing happens that fast. So when we think the world's going to end, just tell yourself that nothing happens that fast. And part of it is that we all learn to hold that vibration, that higher vibration, that we're safe, that we know what's happening, and we can tap into a conscious universe to give us information about what's happening. And if you wake up every morning and watch the ticker on CNBC and listen to the rumble on Wall Street, well, you're going to be afraid. You're going to be afraid.
Right, right. Well, you know, after
if you choose another reality or another group of people to associate with, then you're not going to be afraid. Is life going to be different? Well, you know what? You know, and I know, Preston, it's already different. I mean,
right.
The gig is up. It's already different. It's just a slow moving through. It's like the iceberg breaking up. I mean, that's literally what our culture is going through worldwide. The iceberg's breaking up and melting. And there's, you know, you got to be judicious about where you choose to stand and with whom you choose to stand. But
exactly.
There are places to stand together. Barbara Max Hubbard makes such a powerful statement about what happens to a caterpillar when it's in the chrysalis stage. And she talks about the fact that as this caterpillar is in the chrysalis stage, before it becomes a butterfly, new cells, which are new ideas, start coming into its body. Well, initially, the caterpillar gets afraid, gets all worked up, feels like it's being attacked, feels like its body's falling apart, and begins to kill off these new cells. Well, the new cells keep coming and being produced because that's the natural progression of a caterpillar. These new cells are going to come online. Finally, there are so many new cells online that the old cells start to give up, and the new cells, to strengthen themselves, start making a chain until the caterpillar looks like a big chain of these new cells linked around the body, which I equate to the analogy of you, me, people in the in MUFONs that you were certainly a part of, people in ufology, people in exoconsciousness and exopolitics. We all start to join up, and then the magic happens. Then the new cells get strong because they're all joined up, and the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. This whole era that we're moving through, I believe, has been hardwired into our genes. You know, I do enough regression work to figure out pretty quickly that we all knew it was coming,
right.
And we all chose to live through it.
Right.
So we might as well just calm down, trust ourselves, trust the people that we're with, and trust this conscious universe.
Yeah, well, I always tell people to embrace their human consciousness and, you know, like, for example, having an out-of-body experience, it's a very easy skill to learn and just
mm-hmm.
takes a little dedication. And it only takes one out-of-body experience to convince you that there is life after death and remove that pervasive fear of death.
That's beautiful that you're teaching that. That's beautiful.
Oh,
that's
it's
powerful.
It is, and I think that's part of the whole movement that we're going through right now. It's just like you say, we're breaking free into this new consciousness, and I'm just hoping that, you know, that it isn't too traumatic for us. I think there's an analogy when people have ET contact, it can be very traumatic, and
mm-hmm.
as I'm sure you know, initially especially, when it first starts, but people who work through their trauma and their fear are often treated very differently or have amazingly positive contacts. I've talked to people who were taught about their past lives, who were taught how to do healing. There's a lot of that. I hear that all the time. People are taught how to do all kinds of alternative healing. They're taught all these amazing things. And there's an analogy there, I think, on society as a whole. We're going through this trauma now, but in a way it's waking us up. It's shaking us awake. So.
Yeah, it's all good. And there's so many different types of trauma-releasing abilities and skill sets that we have now as a species, and that's one of the things that I'm going to talk about in Laughlin, is how these amazing, you know, pioneers of traumatology have come online and given this us ways that we can, you know, release the fear, release the trauma, release this galactic solitary confinement. And it's easily done, and it doesn't ruin your life, and you don't break apart in 1,000 pieces, and you don't go stark raving mad, and you're not scared of death, and it's peaceful and quick, and there you are on the other side.
Right. You know, I spoke with this lady who's been having ET contact, and mm-hmm. it's still going on. She's like in her late 60s, and she's tired of it. She wants it to end. It hasn't been particularly friendly for her, you know,
right.
positive, I should say. But the ETs told her that they are responsible for a lot of what people perceive as religious events in, throughout our history, angels and what have you. And I'm wondering how do you think this whole thing is going to affect religion, and how are we going to bridge that gap with extraterrestrial reality and mainstream religion?
Well, interestingly enough, that's my background. I went to seminary, and I'm an ordained United Methodist minister, so I was actually a university chaplain at Wright State University, that's right next to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where, you know, supposedly the alien
wow.
and the craft were taken.
Right, wow.
No mistakes about where we get placed in life, right? So, it's so funny. I had to deal with this huge issue of religion and what it's going to do to religion, because I think the Brookings Institute, you know, study, I think it was back in the 60s, that was the biggest stumbling block they saw, was that it was going to be so traumatic for religious institutions.
Right.
And yet I think that it's not going to be as traumatic today as it would have been in the 60s, because I think because of the spirituality movement, which I believe is different than religion, but because of the spirituality movement, the kind of the new age and spirituality, there's been a lot of openness in religious circles because of spirituality to science. So I think that religion sees science now as a cohort and a colleague. And because of that, as science is able to more and more come online with this UFO reality, and I think it's all happening kind of like a symphony, that, you know, the government is going to come out, you know, gradually and leak information through specified individuals, you know, like astronauts and physicists and CIA people, you know, gradually leak information out so that it comes out at a comfortable level. I think science will then, you know, come on board even more. But there's a lot of scientists that are already allied with the UFO community. I mean, the UFO community is full of scientists.
Oh, yeah.
And I think because of that religion is going to be able to open those doors a little bit more comfortably. Now, are they going to have trouble dogmatically? Yes. There's going to be some theological dogmatism, that some canonization of the Bible issues and biblical literalism. Those are going to be issues that the church is going to have to grapple with. But you know what? People in churches are part of the human species too. People in religion across the world are part of the human species. And they can deal with this. They can figure it out. They can reframe it for the times in which we live. And there's no doubt in my mind that whole reframing of Jesus Christ or Abraham or Buddha or Muhammad, all of that's going to be reframed. And we as a species are going to do it. And I think
they'll
do it successfully and quietly. Will there be some rancor? Well, I'm sure there will be. That's the types of groups that I like to engage, you know, philosophers. And I just spoke recently at the American Philosophical Association. I like to engage philosophers and people in religion and seminaries. I went to Boston University. I can't wait for them to ask me someday to come and speak on exoconsciousness. I see myself doing that. I've got friends on the faculty, and I want to do that someday. That's where I want to go. I want to go to Boston and speak about these things and have a dialogue and listen. most importantly, listen to what they have to say.
Right.
Because what I have to say is important and what you have to say is important, but also what's really important is to hold a space and listen and be there while they work it out.
Exactly. You know, the Vatican released a statement about UFOs. I'm not exactly sure what it said, but it was supportive of the whole...
Yeah, it came out as one of the Jesuits that was part of the their astronomy group came out. And that's something also that Paulo Harris was involved in with Monsignor Balducci, who passed away, I believe it was last year, that he'd also come out and affirmed the Vatican stand on extraterrestrials. And there's so many people you mentioned, you know, I like that you mentioned the fact that a lot of religious occurrences were, in fact, UFOs. Joaquim Fernandez, I believe is his name, he's out of Portugal. He's doing just fascinating work on, he got in the Vatican archives and worked on the whole Fatima history and the whole Fatima sighting. And he said, you know, you ought to have him on your show sometime. He's great. And he talked about, you read the testimony, and it's pretty obvious that it was a UFO.
Yeah, I think so. I think
he's written a book about that.
Yeah, one of the most widely viewed UFO events in all of human history, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely very, very interesting. So what is ETVoteNow.org, a national initiative to establish a Department of Extraterrestrial Alliances?
You know, President, that was a really interesting way that Dr. Kitai and Dr. Lynn and Terry Mansfield and I, with the web guy that we work with, Larry Lowe, we got together one afternoon, and we meet regularly, and we just started talking a lot about, you know, what it means to live in an extraterrestrial reality. You know, what's that going to mean? And we were really driven by the fact that, you know, we need to stand up as a species and ask for what we want. You know, we want open diplomatic relations. We want our State Department, or, you know, however our government is going to be formed in this coming early 21st century, because it seems like it's going through a huge reformation right now, that we want open diplomatic relations, and we want it talked about, and we as citizens want to participate, and we want the Department of Education to talk about UFO curriculum in all the schools, and, you know, we want this to be a reality. And so we as a species and as citizens of whatever country we're part of need to stand up and say, you know, this is what we want. This is how we see the future. This is how, at this point, we're envisioning it. May it change, you know, a year or 5 years from now? Sure, but the change is going to come because we're actively involved. We're actively involved, like Jeff Peckman, and we're asking for things to change, and we're asking for new structures to be created.
Sure is exciting stuff. I'm so glad you're out there doing this work, because it's so
Well, there's
so
a lot
needed.
Of people out there doing this work. It's a big community now. And everybody has their, like you are doing such amazing work for a listening audience, and, you know, I'm sure your emails and all that you do. I mean, we are all part of making this butterfly emerge.
It's like you say, it's an amazing time to be alive, and I can't wait to see what our future brings. I think it's going to be amazing.
The trick to that is to stay in the present, you know, that hold that kind of Buddhist present mind where,
right.
You know, we don't need to see that. Well, we do know the future. I mean, you were talking about your dreaming ability, and sometimes we are given glimpses of the future, and that's a beautiful information that we receive. And you know, but day to day, you know, stay in the present and be committed to the work you're doing and the people you're doing it with, and that's what strengthens all of us in these amazing times.
Wow. Well, Rebecca, we're got like 5 minutes left, so I want to give you a chance to, you know, wrap it up a little bit. If there's anything that we haven't discussed that you feel our listeners out there should know, and you know, quick,
okay. Let
you talk about your website and what you're going to be speaking at
the
UFO.
My website's exoconsciousness.com, exoconscious.com. I saw that you had the link there on your website. Thank you for that. I have a new book out. My new book just came out, Exoconsciousness, Your 21st Century Mind, where it's kind of a mixture of a narrative as well as an academic work where I try to interface objective knowledge with subjective experience and integrate the two. It has a lot of exercises in it where people can use to sort of move into this new way of being. It's got an extensive glossary. It's very user-friendly. And I'm just really excited about continuing this work and talking with people like you and listening to all the, you know, through you, all the people that you talk to and all the amazing information that they're all bringing forward, because I think it's something that all of us need to be involved in together as a group and listen for. And just really glad to be here and looking forward to everybody coming to Laughlin, and it's going to be a great week.
So what exactly is the date that the whole Laughlin thing is going on?
It starts Sunday, and I'll just...
Oh, is that just next week?
Yes,
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's ready to happen very soon. That's a great title for your book, Exoconsciousness. That should do really well.
I'm feeling that. Yeah, I'm really thrilled that... Yeah, it starts, Preston, it starts on the 22nd.
Oh, okay.
And then I speak Thursday the 26th. So I'm actually going to be there most of the week because it's just, it's a wonderful UFO classroom.
Right.
It's just, you know, a week just chock full of speakers and people meeting and greeting. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, talk on the phone or email. And I think Laughlin's one of those great conferences that gives you the opportunity to, you know, really meet somebody and look in their eyes and get to know them and, you know, establish a relationship. So I'm really looking forward to doing that with everyone in the UFO community, the speakers and the people that attend and, you know, my friends that are going. And it's going to be a good time.
It's like the main event. And they've been doing it for years and years and years.
They have been, yeah. They have. And they've, you know, gone through some personal issues, and they keep it going. And Nikki and Bob Brown are just, you know, true to the cause. As you are, as I am. And, you know, there's a lot of loyalty and commitment and passion in this field.
There is, isn't there? Once it gets a hold of you.
It does. It does. it gets in your heart in a way that other than, you know, my beloved family and my loved ones, other than that, I have to say that the whole UFO, extraterrestrial, I feel so linked to ETs, and I just, you know, it's in my heart. It's in my blood. It's in my heart. It's in my DNA, and there's a lot of strength and power that comes through that.
Wow. Well, Rebecca, that is our show. I want to thank you so much for coming
Preston,
on.
Thank you. It's a great show. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, thanks, Preston.
Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and our guest tonight has been Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle, Ph.D., a pioneer in paranormal research and experience. She's the author of the new book, Exoconsciousness, which is what we have been talking about tonight. Check out her website, www.exoconsciousness.com. That's all one word, E-X-O, consciousness. And you can learn some more information about what we've been talking about tonight, the future of humanity. And boy, are we in for some really amazing stuff. So thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And I hope you can join us next week when I bring on another exciting guest. Talk about UFOs and the paranormal on the BBS radio. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.